Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to the big show. But you know what? Andrew, take down the big lead sound behind me here. Because you know what? I'm gonna break format, as we say in the business. And I'm going to push kind of the traditional way we do big lead stories. I'm going to push that to probably the bottom of the hour here. You know why? Because you and I have to have a heart-to-heart. We don't do this often enough. We don't talk, just you and me. Actually, that's all we do. That's actually the entirety of the show. But sometimes I just spend an inordinate amount of time thinking about the show. And it's probably to my detriment, you know, as far as just being healthy. But sleep did not come easy last night. And so about 3:30 this morning, I'm listening to a podcast, and it was, oh my goodness, it was a great conversation. Bill Simmons, who is one of the most prolific podcasters in the country, he had on one of my favorite writers, Chuck Klosterman, as his guest. And they were talking about sports, and then they moved on to the Fyre Festival, that bogus Woodstock wannabe down in the Caribbean. And there are these competing documentaries on Netflix and Hulu about the Fyre Festival. But they got off into such an absolutely fascinating place in the conversation. And one of the things Chuck Klosterman, who I don't know if you've ever read his books of essays, but that's among my favorite books, is the Chuck Klosterman essays. And yes, it is not Klosterman, like everybody else pronounces it. But what he was saying is that he doesn't really have agency over his worldview. And he started to explain. He said his childhood, the way he grew up, his teen years, he didn't really plan how all of that was going to go. As he moved into his 20s, it wasn't by dint of forethought that he went through life. But all of those elements of his life have led him to the worldview that he has now. And his worldview is probably very different from mine, but that whole notion just absolutely fascinated me. About to what extent is your worldview the product of some conscious steering that you have made to navigate your worldview? Versus, okay, your life is the sum total of your experiences. And I like to think that I'm a bit of a, and I know you're wondering, where in the world is he going with all of this? And why don't we have a big lead right now instead of this? I'm going somewhere. And I am getting to a couple of big news stories in talking about this. But the way I arrived at my worldview is, like Chuck Klosterman said, my childhood, my teen years. I fell in love when I was 21 years old. And, you know, here we are 36 years later. And that's guided my worldview. God gave me three daughters, and that's affected my worldview differently than if I had boys. And everything, I mean, but I also, in my mid-teens to early 20s, I embarked on this journey of goal setting and trying to have some control over my destiny, because I grew up with the thought that we didn't have any control over it. And so there's a combination of, you know, I'm a cork in the river, but I also, you know, have guided the current a little bit. The reason I bring all of this up today is because we've been talking about some really emotional stuff on this show the last several days. And one thing that I always vowed to you was that I would never alter my opinion because I thought it was something that people wanted to hear. Because I don't like listening to phonies. And I think that talk radio in particular, it reveals inauthenticity more than any other medium. Because you and I are sharing, if you're, you know, one of those P1 listeners who hangs out for 3 hours every day, you know, 15 hours a week, you probably know more about me and my life, my worldview than, you know, most other people in your life. And I don't think people are going to listen to someone who's inauthentic. So I said I will never alter my opinion because of what people want to hear, or my perception of what people want to hear. Now, because of this worldview, much of which I had no agency over, because it was just the product of how I grew up and how I developed, as I started paying attention to the world around me. As I started paying attention, as I started developing this worldview, it turns out I'm kind of out of touch with most of Seattle. The city, the people who live in the city. I'm out of touch in my worldview. But there's a certain percentage of people in the city, and then a lot of people who have kind of shared my life experience, who lived in the city and moved to the suburbs, or maybe you live in the rural areas and you can't believe how crazy things have gotten in Seattle, and you like to look and kind of laugh or just be sad and how crazy things have gotten. And through not altering the worldview, we've enjoyed incredible success on the show, beyond what I ever could have reasonably dreamed of. And I want to thank you for that. You know, whether you are the people who disagree with me and tell me what a horrible person I am, and I hear that a lot. Or if you are indifferent, like some of the stuff, don't like some of the stuff, or maybe you love everything. But I appreciate you, regardless of whether you agree or disagree. So, why am I bringing this up and talking so in-depth and talking with such passion? I mentioned this yesterday, and I'm going to bring it up again right now. I know a lot of people, for reasons that I've tried to clearly articulate, the issue nationwide that has been the hottest topic the last week or so is this trend, late-term abortion. Now, I'm not going to talk in depth about that. I will a little bit. But I care passionately about that issue, not because I think pro-choice people are horrible, because as I've acknowledged many times, if you believe life begins at conception, or if you believe it begins at viability outside of the mom, I respect that that's the viewpoint that you've gotten to. I don't think anybody can reasonably argue that 2 minutes before birth, that's not a person. I don't think coming through the birth canal is when life begins. And I really don't understand that that's become such a hot button issue. And so yesterday I led the show with the fact that Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse, who we invited to come on the show today, he wasn't able to work it into his schedule. But he introduced a bill. And it was spiked by Washington State Senator Patty Murray. To me, There was no bigger local story yesterday than that. And I looked at the local newspaper. I checked all the local TV stations. And I have respect for all of them as news outlets. But none of them even mentioned it. That the most talked about issue in the country for the last couple of weeks, a Washington state senator became the focal point of that story on the floor of the Senate. And nobody in local media thought that that was even worthy of a mention. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you exactly why it is. And I do think, and this is when I say I appreciate you, I do think it's what is setting our show apart and why we're enjoying the greatest success we ever had. Here's Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse introducing this motion that he thought would be so universally acceptable that everybody in the Senate would say, yes, I agree with that, and we approve it by unanimous consent.
Now we're talking about keeping a baby comfortable while the doctors have a debate about infanticide. That is what we're talking about here on the floor tonight. We're not talking about second trimester abortion. We're not having some big, complicated discussion about a mother's reproductive freedom, as important as all those debates are. We are actually talking about babies that have been born. The only debate on the floor tonight is about infanticide.
Okay, and he was talking about the Virginia governor who said, yeah, if a mom gives birth and the baby's alive after birth, the governor of Virginia said, well, she and the doctor will talk about whether they're going to give it any medical attention or if they're just going to let it die. And, I mean, he said, Ben Sasse said, that's appalling. That's not talking about is it at birth or is it at viability outside of the mom or even if it's at, you know, minutes before birth. He said, now we're talking in America about letting babies die after they've been born.
This isn't about a clump of cells. This is about fourth trimester abortion. That's actually what we're talking about here tonight. Governor Northam is a disgraced coward, and he has such an abysmally low view of human dignity that he couldn't bring himself to say this basic truth. It's wrong to let little babies who've been born die. He couldn't say it. This isn't about Republicans and Democrats. We're way beyond that. Everyone in the Senate ought to be able to say unequivocally that the little baby deserves life, that she has rights, and that killing her is wrong. And tonight, every member of this body has that chance.
So he thought that, well, in America, of course. And he clarified what his bill was.
The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act prohibits exactly the kind of infanticide that Governor Northam was endorsing. That's it. That's what the legislation is about. There are only two sides of the debate on the floor tonight. You're either for babies or you're defending infanticide. That is actually what the legislation is that's before us.
Now, you can agree or disagree with Ben Sasse on anything that he said. You can agree or disagree with Patty Murray, who became the only person in the United States Senate, the longtime senator from Washington State, to say, nope, I object, and we will not pass this by unanimous consent because it only takes one to prevent unanimity.
Please don't block this legislation.
Mr. President.
Senator from Washington.
Mr. President, we have laws against infanticide in this country. This is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill that is being asked to be considered, and therefore I object.
Objection is heard.
With all due respect, Mr. President.
Senator from Nebraska.
To the senator from Washington, the bill that we're talking about before this body tonight is because New York and Virginia, New York already and Virginia in debate, are having a conversation about removing exactly these protections.
I'm not asking you to choose sides here. But is that a news story? That an issue that so many people are passionate about on both sides, and I respect the passion on both sides, that here we are in Seattle, Washington, and the mom in tennis shoes, longtime senator from our region, blocked this on the U.S. Senate. not asking anybody to take sides, although you probably have. But is that a news story? Because honest to goodness, if I hadn't talked about this on my radio show, nobody in the Pacific Northwest would know about this unless you saw it on the internet. You didn't see it on TV. You didn't read it in the newspaper. Isn't that at least worthy of a mention? But here's what's going on. That while I talk about these issues because of sincere passion and because I vowed that I would never be a phony with you, we have news outlets that have decided that if some, because I don't think this reflects very favorably on Patty Murray. And so we have news outlets that chose to bury it. You know what? If we don't report it, it didn't happen. And nobody will say anything bad about Patty Murray. Because we see it, they say, as our primary objective to provide journalistic and public opinion cover to the politicians that we like. And if we have to spike a story, and I haven't checked in the last few hours, but you know, we put this, my comments yesterday on My Northwest. We have a Facebook post. Facebook has over 500 comments. My Northwest was over 160 at 6 a.m. today. And I'm not asking people to agree or disagree with me, but it's a news story. But not in the view of any newspaper or TV. My radio show is the only one that covers it. Because somewhere along the way, I think some people have decided that it's their primary objective to not be sincere, not be authentic, but as an operation to provide political cover. And I just, you know, how many other stories have gotten spiked? The Ed Murray child rape story, allegedly, got spiked by news operations because they liked him and what he stood for politically. And they spiked it for years. How many things are kept hidden from you? Because it doesn't fit the ideology of other outlets. And so I'm passionate about this. And I wanted to say thank you. Because in just doing the show, the only way that I ever knew how, the only way I ever envisioned when I first pitched this 24 years ago, we're getting the best response ever. And I just want you to know that I really appreciate you being along for the ride. Because these are crazy, passionate times. And I want to say thank you.